If you have your hymn books this morning, we are commencing our service by the singing of hymn number 535. 535, Rejoice in the Lord, O let His mercy cheer. He sunders the bands that enthrall, redeemed by His blood. Why should we ever fear, since Jesus is our all in all? Standing as we sing this morning, giving God the praise, the honor, and the glory. Good singing this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, a meeting place where God's people can come together and to seek His face in prayer and in praise, even this morning. Let us take a moment coming to the Lord, seeking for the Lord to be with us this morning, that He might presence Himself here. Indeed, we are a needy people, and we need His presence. Without that, then there can be no worship as such. Let's all bow our heads, God's people, praying that God would speak even this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we still our hearts before Thee this morning. Lord, today we come humbly, Lord, into Thy presence. We thank You, Lord, that we come, Lord, even through no merit of our own today. We cannot come, Lord, with any of our good works, Lord. We cannot come with any of our righteousness today, Lord, because they are but filthy righteousness, filthy rags, Lord, of self. But Lord, we come today through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, for His blood that was shed. We thank You, Lord, that we come through that new and living way, Lord, that's been opened up before us, in, Lord, even to Thy very presence. We thank You, Lord, as we come into the very holy place today. And Lord, even today as we look upon that mercy seat, Lord, we see the blood that was sprinkled, that blood that was shed by the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. We thank You, Lord, for that mercy seat and that blood that covers over even the law today. And Lord, even how we stand complete in Christ. Thank You, Lord, for Thy mercy today. Lord, we Thy people, we come, we praise Thee, Lord, because of that saving power. And Lord, today we ask Thee, Lord, to come and meet with each one of us, Lord. We pray that, Lord, Thy people would be encouraged today. Lord, You'd move from seat to seat, Lord, and encourage Thy people. And Lord, if there be one today, Lord, who's yet, Lord, even cold at heart, we pray that, Lord, You would speak to them and draw them unto Thyself. Oh, that they might see Christ again. That they might have that love again. It might be rekindled again. And Lord, for the one that would be in this service who's yet unsaved, Lord, we pray that You would draw them unto Thyself. Undertake, Lord, we pray for this service. Undertake, Lord, for every aspect of it, that Thy praise, that praise would be given to Thee, that Thy name would be uplifted, and Lord, we'd be drawn even closer to Thyself. Remember, Lord, the work of this church. Lord, we thank Thee, Lord, even for the outreach of here. We thank You, Lord, for the outreach over the past number of weeks, even to the children of this place. Lord, we pray that boys and girls, Lord, might come to Christ. We pray, Lord, that young lives would be saved, Lord. Lord, even through children, that impact would be made in the homes, Lord. I thank You, Lord, even over these last couple of weeks, we heard young children telling they were going home to their parents to sing them the choruses and tell them the memory verses. Oh, Lord, that those young children would become ambassadors for Thee. And Lord, we thank You, Lord, even for what we've heard of the outreach even to in the farming show, Lord, in the area here. We pray, Lord, for every bag that was given out full of information and gospel tracts and literature. Lord, we pray You would speak to men and women, Lord, and show them their great need of salvation. We realize, Lord, that we of ourselves can do nothing to see men and women saved, but Lord, we pray that Thy Spirit would move. And Lord, as we look not just here, Lord, in this church here, but Lord, we look at all the churches, Lord, in the area that preach the gospel. The churches even of our own denomination, Lord, today, we pray that You would work through them. Lord, You know those churches today that are, Lord, who need a pastor. Well, Lord, we pray that, Lord, You would fill those pulpits. And Lord, for the churches, Lord, that are maybe small, Lord, and struggling in numbers, God, we lift them up, Lord, before Thee. Lord, that You would bring increase. Lord, not for the glory of a denomination, Lord, but for the glory of our King Jesus. So many times, Lord, we see those, Lord, who might march and parade and with all their loyalism, Lord, and all their so-called Protestantism, and yet, Lord, they're not even found in a place of worship today. Protestant in name only, and not in practice. Oh God, we pray You would work in this land. This land, Lord, over numbers of years has been blessed with the preaching of the gospel, Lord, and has seen great works done, Lord. Even we pray, Lord, You'd work again. We pray Thy Spirit would move, Lord, and many might be saved. Help us, Lord, to play our part. Help us, Lord, to do the bits, Lord, You need us to do. Help us, Lord, to witness to others, Lord, to live for Christ on a daily basis, that others might see Christ in us. Undertake, Lord, and bless us this morning as we continue to worship Thee. In the name of Christ we ask it. Amen. We're continuing to worship this morning with the singing of hymn number 540. 540, encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall feel the glowing skies. The singing's been good this morning so far. Let's stand and sing again, singing out with all of our hearts this morning.
Thank you.
If you have your Bibles this morning, we're turning to the book of Galatians in the chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5. We're commencing the reading from the first verse this morning. Verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that ye will do none otherwise minded. For he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." May God bless the reading of his precious word even to our own hearts this morning. Let me ask our brother to come and give us the necessary announcements, please.
On behalf of the minister in session, I'd like to welcome you to our service this morning. If you're visiting with us or joining us online, we do indeed extend a very warm welcome to you. We're very pleased to have on the pulpit today our brother Andrew Dobbin from Oma, and looking forward to his ministry here today. The announcements are as follows. The evening service is 7 p.m., preceded by the half hour of prayer, and the preacher will be our brother Andrew again this evening. On Tuesday night at 8 p.m. is the midweek prayer meeting. Mr. David Wilson, a licentiate student, will be the preacher. Next Lord's Day, the service is the normal time of 12 noon and 7 p.m., both preceded by the half hour of prayer, and the speaker will be the Reverend David Linton. On Sunday night, the Reverend Linton will speak on the revival at the Isle of Lewis. Please remember to pray for children's mission this week in Armagh. Our sister Gillian's conducting us, and pray that boys and girls will come in under the sound of the gospel. Also, Clocker Valley are holding a teen challenge this week, each night from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And that's in Five Town College, and the speaker is Mr. Phil Harkin. As a church, we'd like to extend our sincere Christian sympathy to Rob Charlton and his family, following the sudden death of his sister Olga in Bangor this week. And we pray that the Lord will comfort Rob and the family circle at this time of loss. All these announcements are subject to the will of God.
Thank our brother for the words of welcome this morning. It's good to be here. I have it in good authority that your minister was in good health last night. He He was seen walking down Port Stewart Prom. So hopefully he'll regain his strength and come back to you even here. I pray that God would bless you this morning. If you feel blessed this morning, then I encourage you to come back again this evening. And if you don't, we'll ask you to come back this evening anyhow and see if the Lord works even through the preaching of his precious word. We are coming to, I was going to say an offering hymn, but I found out you don't like to take up an offering this morning. As such, you take them on the way out and the way in the church, which is good. I was caught recently in a particular church, and I announced an offering, and then I looked down and I could see all the congregation looking at me as if I was a bit strange. They were just taking up a retiring offering on the way out. We are going to sing that hymn number 538. Good hymn. There's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the king. As an ensign fair, we lift it up today, while as ransomed ones we sing. We come today as ransomed ones, singing and giving God the praise in all of these things. Let us stand, please, as we sing. Your Bibles there, please, if we can turn back to Galatians chapter 5, just with our Bibles open, let's just come to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray that God would speak to each one of us this morning, even in this place of worship. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy goodness. We thank Thee, Lord, even for the hymns that we have sang this morning. And Lord, we pray that You make them even a blessing to each one of us today. Lord, now as we come to Thy precious word, we pray, Lord, You would undertake in every aspect, Lord, even of the service. Bless, Lord, as we look upon Thy word. Bless in the preaching, we pray. Lord, we need Thy Holy Spirit today to work. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. I recently was reminded of a quotation or a quote that was given some years back. It said very clearly, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. And we know as a little country that we are that we remember a lot of different things even in this country. We will remember, of course, on the 11th of November. We always have that day of remembrance, that time which is given over to the remembrance of those who gave their lives in the world wars. And again, even over the month of July and the month of August, again we have those days of remembrance. In July we celebrate that victory of the Battle of the Boyne, one of the greatest celebrations even in our calendar. Recently I was speaking to a man in England and I was telling him that Northern Ireland closes down for those 2 days, the 12th and the 13th, and some businesses even close for the complete week. He just fully couldn't understand that, of course. Although a great celebration, I still believe that there is many people who lack knowledge around it and how it all happened and the background to it. I once remembered speaking to someone and I said to him, and we're talking about King William, and I said, do you know even where King William was from? And he said to me, I think he was from Dublin. And for those who don't know, this morning he was of the House of Orange in Holland. I would hope that most people would know that in here this morning. The battles that we look at even throughout Ireland is some a smaller part in many ways of greater battles and a greater picture that was happening right across what we would know as Europe. Before this event, I believe there was an even greater pivotal event that happened in what we would call today Londonderry, approximately 18 months beforehand. This event, as many of us will know, that it came known as the Siege of Derry. A little report from the internet says that the Siege of Derry began in December 1688. That would be when we know of the closing of the gates, but the actual siege didn't happen really until sometime later on. The closing of the gates was where the 13 apprentice boys shut the gates of the city against the regiment of 1,200 papists commanded by a papist, Alexander MacDonald, Earl of Antrim, which immediately withdrawn. Retaliatory action was passed to the Duke of Tyrconnell, who assembled a large but poorly organized Irish force commanded by Sir Richard Hamilton to march north against the Ulster Protestants. The deposed King James II, who had traveled from France to Ireland in March, took charge with the aid of two French generals. Arriving at the gates of Derry on the 18th of April, 1689, he was greeted by the cry of no surrender. And this morning I want us to think even of those historic facts, and I want to put the title even of today's message, No Surrender, Stand Fast. You see, our text is very clear this morning in Galatians 5 and 1. We as Christians this morning, we are to stand fast, therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and to be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We are living in an ever-changing world, but we are told to stand fast. Our governments will change to meet society, and they have done, but we are encouraged to stand fast. Society is turning against Christianity, but we are told to stand fast. It reminds me even as what Luther said, his famous statement, here I stand I can do no other. But firstly, this morning, as I think of this idea of standing fast, then we've got to stand fast in safety. As we look back into that siege of Derry, that place in behind the city walls was a place of safety for the people of the city and also for the surrounding population. The city swelled by many thousands, even into that city. People ran there for protection. They ran for their own lives, for the lives of their families. But there is a city which is greater than Derry or Londonderry. It is a city of God. Psalm 48 and verse 1 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness." There is something greater than any physical city that we know today. Proverbs 18 and 10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." And that is where we are this morning. We are to run to that city where we can find safety. The men, yes, of Derry and Londonderry were courageous. They were watchful. But we've got to realize today there's something greater than any man who is looking after ourselves. We are reminded continually throughout Scripture of how it is the Lord that needs to work. And in Psalm 127 and verse 1 says, "Except the Lord build a house, the labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." And today we come into that place of safety, that place of security in Christ today. There is a greater one who was looking after history. And there's a greater one who is looking after the affairs even of your life. God today is interested in your life today. The city is built of God and he watches over it. It is a place of safety for the believer. You know, today in salvation, we have that safety and we have that security. See, in John 10 and 28 and 29, and it's worthwhile verses for us all to remember, "And I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." We are safe and we are secure in the very hands of God today. We may have other Christian denominations who would claim that you can lose your salvation, but according to Scripture, that is not true today. We need to know our doctrine of eternal security. We as believers today, as we think of that safety and security, even in a natural sense, we have that relative peace today and we're able to practice in our Christian beliefs today. And all because of those events back in the 1600s, which have allowed those to continue. As we look at the world around us, we can see the world that is turning maybe more against Christianity and against Christian principles. We look at our own nation of the United Kingdom and we see where it once was a Christian nation as such is no longer. It is minimal, the number of people who attend a place of worship. And again, we can see that even in Northern Ireland, we will see the churches. Sometimes there'll be some in the churches in the morning and then none at night, so much so that churches have closed their doors. And you have others who are no care for church at all, who never go in through a church door. But let us not be mistaken. As we see persecution across the world, I am sure there'll be persecution throughout the United Kingdom and even on the streets of Northern Ireland. We have seen persecution in the past against the street preachers. We have seen others who have been condemned because they speak out against sin. We have seen the schools have sought in some ways through the curriculum to indoctrinate our children through things like evolution and also through sex education. We've seen recently the local Secretary of State, he's tried to push further those teaching into the normal curriculum that schools would use them. We've seen the changes in all the laws that have happened, even down to the very fact that our abortion laws today in Northern Ireland are worse than some other countries. But even in all of that, even in all those things that we could be caught up in the doom and gloom of life, Christ says very clearly to us in Matthew 10 and verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Today we have safety and security in Christ, spiritually speaking. Today we're in Christ, who is a place of safety. But what about you today? Are you in Christ, or are you out of Christ? I pray that no one would be in this service who's yet unsaved, would leave this place unsaved, that they might leave knowing that they've got safety and security in Christ today. Let us have no fear as we stand in the knowledge that we are to stand fast today in safety. But secondly this morning, not only should we stand fast in safety, but we should also stand fast in separation. As we think of that battle, that siege of Derry, the people of that area realized that if they were to survive, they needed to run to the city. They had to get behind the walls where they would separate themselves. It would create a separation between them. Them walls would create a separation between them and the enemies that were coming. There needed to be that wall of separation. And the Christian today, as we as believers, we need to stand in separation. We need to stand in separation from the world today. If you have your Bibles, you've just turned over there to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, please. 1 John 2:15-17 says very clearly in John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We, as God's people, are to be separate from the world. But yet in that separation, we also need to be able to work in the world. And even in Christ's high priestly prayer, he said there in John 17 and the verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. There you see the separation as such. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. See, people in the scriptures, whenever Christ was living and during his ministry, many times they pointed at him, and it says in Matthew 11, verse 19, said, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of their children. But the reality is he's there in that situation as a witness, and he did not partake in their sin. But even through his presence, he convicted them of his sin. I wonder, as we mingle and speak to the world, do we, through our life, convict them of their sin? The Bible is clear that those who are not whole, those who are sick, they need that physician and they need it Christ. And today, we need to bring Christ to the world, and yet, in our separation. But not only are we to be separated from the world, but we are to be separated to the gospel. It's a positive thing. Sometimes we see separation as negative, but it's a positive thing. Separated from the world, but separated to the gospel today. If you get an opportunity, you can go on to the denomination website, and you see a little bit of history of how our denomination started. Just a couple of paragraphs of that history says that matters were drawn sharply to a head when on the evening of Saturday the 3rd of February 1951, just 90 minutes prior to a march of witness to advertise the mission, Down Presbytery held a special meeting to which the Czar's Church session were summoned. At this meeting, the moderator of Down Presbytery demanded that the Sarah session reverse her decision to grant the use of the church hall to the missioners. These events were as yet unknown to those who were at the time gathered for the March of Witness. They made their way to Lazara Church Hall, only to discover that the Down Presbytery had closed the doors of the church to the preaching of the gospel and to them. You know, today as we look at the major denominations, we know there may be a scattering of those who are saved, but there is many who are unsaved. There is many which are not for the gospel. There is those who are not with the right mind to further the gospel truth. And even as we look into that siege of Derry, we see others who were working away in the background. One of the governors of that city was Colonel Lundy. It is said that he had already signed the surrender and had agreed the surrender of the city. But he was opposed at that time, and he escaped into the darkness of the night. I used to think that they had burned him as such, just as they burned the effigy of Lundy, but they never actually burned him. He escaped. He was tried later, even for his crimes as such. And so it is, there's many today who have surrendered. They have surrendered the gospel in church settings. But we are not to compromise, nor are we to surrender to the world, the flesh, or the devil. We are to stand in separation. In Proverbs 24, verses 30 to 34, it reads, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall I poverty come as one that traveleth, and I want as an armed man. We need to be so careful in our separation. We need to be so careful that our walls remain strong. Just as those walls of that Derry city remain strong, were walls of separation, so we must have walls today. Maybe today it's easier to be a Free Presbyterian than what it used to be. Free Presbyterians used to be people who were looked down upon. Reports have come in where people were spat upon. But we need to stand fast in separation. Separated from the world, separated unto the gospel. We need to be careful where we go. We need to be careful where we socialize. The old devil will try and destroy us. The devil will try and break down that wall of separation. But we're to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. See, we're encouraged throughout Scripture. Those great verses in 2 Corinthians remind us, we'll come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Stand fast in our separation. But thirdly, we should also stand fast behind the standard. Stand fast behind the standard. As we know, this country of ours, there's many symbols of power. There's many symbols with different meanings around them. With our Protestant tradition, we have many symbols of flags, even for our nation. A number of years back, I was growing up, a number of people would have been getting tattoos on of King Billy or of a red hand on their arm. Those were the popular tattoos even of those days. They had their standards, they had their symbols in that way. But one of the greatest symbols even, and I seen it yesterday as we walked around that city of Londonderry, was the flag, the crimson flag that was raised over the cathedral of the city by Colonel Michelburn. Its colour was known as Derry Crimson. See, it came from, it is believed, for some of the blood of the defenders of the city had been either on a piece of cloth or a flag, and again it was lifted in many ways as a sign and as a symbol, and was taken down other times as a distress signal, even for the boats that waited in the waters. In Isaiah 11, verse 10, it says, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign, or a flag or a standard of people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and the rest shall be glorious. That standard that we are to stand behind, to stand with today, is Christ. Yes, we've sang some of the hymns about banners this morning. And Psalm 60 and verse 4 says, "Thou shalt give a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth." Selah. Each one of us is to be stand behind the standard. And Christ is a thing that people should see in our lives. Many times we might mourn in the standards of a church. Many times I've heard people say that the Christian standard has slipped. They're not what they once were. And we have set so many rules, standards in our own heads, our own minds, are no longer followed, and I understand those. We have those lists of do's and don'ts that Christians should do and shouldn't do. But really, if we got back to the standard, that would change things, wouldn't it? If we go back to the godly standards, then we need to get behind the standard that is Christ and follow Him. Matthew 16 says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Christian, are you following Christ today? Are you following the standard today? Do people see Christ in your life? See, many times there's too much of me, sometimes there's too much of I, and sometimes there's too much of we. We are to live in that shadow of the cross today. The Derry crimson flag was a symbol of victory, which was God ultimately at a terrible price. But the standard that we follow today is that standard that has been stained by the very blood of Jesus Christ. You were not redeemed, the scripture says, with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Do you get that this morning? Your salvation today is because Christ died. His blood was shed, His blood was taken, His blood was sprinkled on that mercy seat today, that you might know salvation. The standard of Christ is raised today in victory, and we are to follow behind it. Our salvation has been purchased for eternity. The devil has been defeated, and today we live on victory ground. See, even whenever we realize, many times, we look around us and we see the enemy coming. And as those people of that city would have looked out and they seen the enemy coming, the cannons, the men, the soldiers, the scripture reminds us that when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Thank God we have Christ today. Let us stand fast behind the standard. And as we stand fast behind the standard, let us stand fast also in service. Look back at our reading today into Galatians chapter 5 and 13. Galatians 5 and 13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another." Let us stand fast in service today. We're no longer under the law, but we have liberty in Christ today. And we're to use our liberty not as an occasion to sin, but to serve other people. We are free today to serve other people. 1 Peter 2 says, "As free, not using your liberty for an occasion of maliciousness, but as servants of God, honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." But we are to be a servant to all today. We as believers have got to realize that in our separation we are to serve other people. We're in the service business today. You see, today as we look even at our churches, we see ministers and elders, they're to serve in the church. As members today, you're to serve in the church. Yes, the greatest example of that is of Christ whenever he served even in the washing of the feet of his disciples. We're to be humble in our service. We're to be loving in our service today. I am quite sure that every man, woman, and child in that city, as that siege laid hold, where the people would have been involved in different parts of it. Some would have been there to protect the walls, the firing of the cannon. Some would have been there as watchmen. Some would have been given a task of finding food. Some would there have been giving a word of encouragement or prayer. All working, all serving. And so it is. It's no different even for each one of us. There's a place of service for you today. Maybe you feel that you've been overlooked for service. Maybe you need to offer yourself for service. There's plenty to do. Yes, even coming to church to attend church in itself is service. It's good to be in the place of worship. It's good to be here in the morning. It's good to be here in an evening. But you're to be involved. Children's work. Opportunities for people to be involved in. Sunday school. Maybe there's a practical piece. I remember watching one time the MD of the company I used to work for, as he worked over the forecourt of the premises, I seen him stoop down and pick up a piece of litter. It wasn't beneath him to do that, but he was working. He had been in service. And so maybe today there's a piece of litter that just needs to be picked up. Small thing that needs to be done, whatever that might be. Maybe the visitation of someone who's sick. Maybe a phone call. Maybe a text to encourage someone in their walk with the Lord. The little saying or the little poem goes, there was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have. Isn't that sometimes in church? Only the faithful few are active in service. And sometimes people get tired. That's a reality. But we're encouraged in Hebrews 4 and 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Let us labor. See, we're only in this life for a very short time. Let us labor. And there's a rest for the believer. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief, the scripture says. We're to stand fast in service. But we're also to stand fast waiting for support today. The people of Derry and that city could do nothing but wait for the relief of Derry. Yesterday, they celebrated that relief. That relief whenever the ships come up the river. That relief whenever the boom was broken and food was brought in to the city. 3 days later, the enemies of the city left and traveled south again. In their waiting, they needed to hold the walls and fight the enemy. And there's nothing different for us today in the spiritual sense as Christians. We are to wait for the support and the relief from heaven. But we must continue to hold and continue to fight today in this world that we live in. We're to continue and hold and fight for the King of Kings. Psalm 121 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. The ships were waiting to bring relief, but they were in danger of getting destroyed. And even as they would travel down that river as such, the banks were so close, they were fear of getting shot. And the Mountjoy that broke through the boom, there was 5 people who gave their life to bring that relief to the city. But that boom did not stop the ship. The old devil, as we know, in many ways he might have thought he was creating a boom as such across the river of life for Christ. He set up booms to stop his progress. He set up one even in his birth where the killing order was given of all the children. There was also that boom was set up whenever he was tempted by Satan at the start of his ministry. Even in the very Garden of Gethsemane, whenever Christ sweat the blood, the drops of blood. But Christ went on to Calvary. Oh, he may have thought that he finally made it whenever he got to the cross and he was in the tomb. But thankfully, in victory, Christ rose up from the tomb. Even today, people might say, "Where is your God?" But on the authority of Scripture, we know in Acts 1 and 11, even as the men of Galilee stood there looking up into heaven, it was told to them, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Yes, that Mountjoy ship attempted once and failed. It went again and it succeeded and it broke through, bringing that much needed supplies into the city. The actual siege itself lasted for 105 days, but the whole event from December right through to August as such lasted 236 days. Some reports say there was 4,000 people died in the city. Some go as much as 10,000 waiting. Today we're waiting for the coming of the Lord. Maybe you will not survive in that waiting, but stand fast. Someday Christ is coming again. Someday Christ is coming to break through the boom of the skies again. As 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Let us remain faithful today. Let us stand fast waiting for his support. It was not easy for the inhabitants of the city. And so it is many times a day. It's not easy, we as believers in this world that we are in. But the Bible says very clearly, "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Let us wait with patience today. As King James approached the city walls, he could hear the men cry out those words, "No surrender." And so often we get so passionate about this wee country and about the politics of this wee country, and we have heard the cries of "No surrender," and yet the enemy is marching on. There is compromise in so many ways, and compromise in every hand. But we are to stand fast in what, you might ask. We're to stand fast. We're to stand fast for the cause of Christ today. And let our cry be one of no surrender. No surrender to the world, no surrender to the flesh, and no surrender to the devil. Stand fast today in safety. Stand fast today in separation. Stand behind and with the standard today. Stand fast in service. Stand fast waiting for support. The Bible tells us to take the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand an evil day. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. The motto of that city is Vita Veritas Victoria. Life, truth, victory. And today we have life in Christ. Today we have truth in Christ. And today we have victory in Christ. Stand fast. No surrender. May God bless his word even to our hearts this morning. We will close our service of the singing of that hymn, 536, standing as we sing, please. bless each one of us. Lord, we pray that we would be faithful as we wait, Lord, for thy coming again. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes looking up. Help us, Lord, to find encouragement in thee. Encourage us, Lord, we pray. In the name of Christ, we ask it. Keep your hand upon us, Lord. We pray, Lord, you would even bring us back tonight under the sound of thy precious word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask all these things. Amen.